Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 8. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I've underscored this thought for your meditation this morning. I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. There's a difference in being jealous for and jealous of. Jealous of is cruel. Jealousy is as cruel as a grave. But jealous for is a lot different from jealous of. And Elijah, the prophet of God, was jealous for the Lord. And I feel that in my heart this morning. I am very, very jealous for the Lord. I want the best of everything for Him. I covet the best talent for the Lord. I hear songs that I just wish the singer was singing for the Lord. And I've heard speakers, gifted speakers, and in my heart I accept that gift no doubt came from God, but they're not using it for the Lord. And I'm jealous for God. I want them speaking for the Lord. I had made it my business to have a private interview with our mayor. He's dead now. Several years ago, he was a good friend, talented man. Done more for our little town than any mayor we've ever had before or since. I went to his office. I said, Frank, I appreciate what you're doing for our city. I appreciate it very much. But I do believe with all of my heart that you've missed your calling. I believe you ought to be working for God. What you could do for the Lord. Now, just expressing to you how I feel about my God, I'm jealous for Him. Jealous for Him. I'm glad you're serving the Lord. Hallelujah. I read my brother's book yesterday, most of it. I'll finish it. And I just thank God for him. Just so thankful that he surrendered his life to the Lord. And now, instead of serving our great country as he was in the book, he's serving our great God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless your angel hearts. This was a dark day in the life of this great prophet. Israel was very, very sinful. They had forsaken God, And as he mentioned, they had destroyed the prophets and tore down the altars and forsaken the Lord. And Israel had just come out of a 3-year drought. Hadn't rained, been no dew on the earth for 3 years. And the prophet of God, he told Obadiah that he was going to speak to the king that day. And Obadiah was very fearful to take him to the king. But he took him. And he spoke to the king. King blamed him for the drought, as you know. The preacher gets blamed for so much he's not to be blamed for. But he let him know it was because of the sins of Israel that there had been a drought. Well, I'm not going through the story of him proving God to be God and Baal failing, but after all of this, that showed his jealousy for the Lord. But after this, Ahab went and told Jezebel about Elijah. He'd slain the prophets of Israel, the prophets of Baal. And she sent him word, tomorrow this time you'll be as one of them. And he fled. And he ran for his life. And God stopped him under a juniper tree and fed him, talked to him. And then he arose and went to Mount Horeb and found himself in a cave. I just somehow imagine how he must have felt. He was a human being just like we are. A man subject to like passion just as we are. Had his feelings just like we have ours. God spoke to him. Elijah, what are you doing here? What's this all about? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. They've torn down your altars. They have forsaken you and your commandments. They've destroyed all the prophets, and they're seeking my life. I'm jealous for the Lord. And he's not the only one down through the years that was jealous for God. Moses, he was experiencing he had a great experience, and it turned into be a sad one. He was on Mount Sinai, at the same mount that Elijah was on, Mount Horeb, Mount of God. The Lord gave him the very first written word that we ever know anything about. I'm talking about the Bible. First written word of God was given to Moses on the Mount of God. And then the Lord spoke to him. Said, Moses, go down. These people that you brought up out of the land of Egypt, God is disowning his people. He is so disappointed in them, so disappointed. He's disowning them. These people that you brought up out of the land of Egypt, they're down at the foot of the mountain, they're worshiping an idol, saying this idol is the one that brought them out of bondage. Go down, Moses, go down. And Moses went down, and the Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke to him and said, now I want you to leave me alone, Moses. I want you to leave me alone. That's God talking to a man. I am going to wipe this people off the face of the earth. I'm going to wipe them off. And he could do it. And I'm going to make of you a great nation. And I'm going to dispose of Israel. Now this, he could have done that and made of Moses a great nation, and still kept his promise to Abraham, because Moses was of the seed of Abraham. Still kept it. But Moses, jealous for God, wasn't selfish. There wasn't an ounce of selfishness in Moses, not one bit. He was all for God, and so jealous for the Lord. And he asked the Lord, don't let your anger wax hot against your children. These children that you, he's given them back to God, that you brought up out of the land of Egypt. Don't let your anger wax so hot against them. Remember, Lord, remember your promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Israel. He didn't say Jacob. He wanted the Lord reminded that he changed Jacob's name to Israel. Remember that, Lord. And then, what are they going to say back in Egypt? That you brought your people out here in this wilderness to die. In other words, Lord, I don't want Israel thinking those things about you. Jealous for the Lord. Jealous. And I hear people say, I don't care what people say. I do care. I do care what people say. Praise God. Moses didn't want the Lord in a bad light down in Egypt. He didn't want it. He wanted the people to think well of him because he was jealous for the Lord. Oh, thank God for everyone in the world that's jealous for my God. Praise the Lord. I know you precious missionaries think many times on the field, what does people think of me back home? You write your letters and we enjoy them very, very much. And you want everyone that knows you're a missionary, you want them to think well of you and the work you're doing for God. It's for the Lord that you're laboring. Be jealous for him. Be jealous for him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Meditation of this, I was thinking of an occasion that some of Sister Glass's family, distant relatives died in Baton Rouge. We were pastoring DeRitter then, and I wanted to take her to the funeral. It's to be at 10 o'clock. One morning, and his church night before. And so I asked our assistant pastor to drive us to Baton Rouge, and we'd get a room after church and be there for the funeral service. And we were driving along. Now, this was Sunday night after church. Between Baton Rouge and DeRitter was a little town called Eunice. And before we got to Eunice, I saw cars lined up and down the highway on both sides and people out at the cars and a lighted up place out here on the side of the road. And it is 1:30 Monday morning. And it looked to me like hundreds of people out at that drinking house. Just lined up and down the highway. And I told those in the car with me, I said, look at there. Just look. They're worshiping their God. They're worshiping their God. And they're working people, just like we preached to in DeRitter tonight. They're working people. But the hour doesn't make any difference for them. They're worshiping their God. And I just want people worshiping my God. To 1:30 in the morning and not complaining about it. Praise God. I I feel like we ought to go as far for God as anyone will go for the devil. I believe that with all of my heart. I just feel like that we're not fair. We just don't treat our Lord fair. I see people, I watch them. Even when I'm preaching, sometimes I notice people looking at their watch. And I told them, I told the people I preached to, I told them how many hours in the week God gave them. 168 hours in 1 week. God gives you every one of those hours. You couldn't buy one of them. They're gifts from God. And you'll spend something like 50 of those hours asleeping. 50 of them. And then you'll spend another 50 of working and going to work. There's 100 of those hours gone, and you haven't given God one single moment. And I broke it down, how much time they spent at the table eating. 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. How much time do you spend? And you go to church 2 or 3 nights a week and can't listen to an hour sermon without looking at your watch. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Praise the Lord. I never look at a watch while somebody's a-preaching. I don't want the Lord to just think I'm in a hurry to get away from hearing His Word. His Word is my spiritual bread. It's my life. It's my light. Praise God. I'm jealous for the Lord this morning. I'm jealous for God. I hope you dear missionaries go back to your field and tear the world up for my God. Tear it up. Just show the world there's a living God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Elijah said, they have forsaken Thy covenant. They just forgot Your Word. Just anything in the world puzzles me. I'm going to be honest with you. I've seen it about as many turn around and go back as you have. And I haven't figured it out yet. How can anyone that's ever tasted of the goodness of God, ever experienced the love of God, ever had fellowship with Him, ever had communion with Him, how in the world can they turn their back on Him and go back into the world? I can't understand it to save my life. And I hate for people of my community or of the world to see somebody serve God at one time and then go back into the world. I don't want them saying anything against the church. I don't want them to think anything. It must not be real, or they'd have stayed with it. I know now there's nothing to it. I don't want things like that said about my God. He is real. He is real. He lives. Praise God. He lives. He lives. I know He lives because He lives within my heart. Praise the Lord. Jealous. I'm jealous for God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jealous for the cause of God. David was a man after God's own heart. One reason why he was, he was very jealous for the Lord. There, he showed it more than one time. Just a lad of a boy, too young for the army. He stayed back home, tended the sheep. And his father called him in. He had some brothers that was in the army and sent him to see how his brothers was doing, take them food and just inquire how they were doing. While he was there talking with his brothers, Goliath came with his challenge to the children of Israel. Do you have somebody that would come and fight with me? I defy your army. You won't come fight. He'd done that over and over and over. When he challenged and David there, David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would dare defy the armies of the living God? Who is this man? Who is he? He didn't look all that big to David. He's defying the army of a living God. And I tell you, folks, the world is against us. All hell is against you reaching the lost with this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. You're defied. You're challenged every day of your life. But praise God, He lives and He's the master of every situation. If you're not just like He gave David victory over Goliath, He'll give you victory. I'm sure glad one of you, I don't know now which one, came to me here in this school of missions and said I was playing your tape not long before I came home on the odds are in your favor. Well, I'm kind of feeling that again. But I won't preach it now. But I'd like for you to know that don't have the tape. I don't call them rookies no more. I think I hurt somebody's feelings here. But what I meant by that, your first term, you're going for your first term. We call you rookie and we call the others veterans. Now, the veterans didn't mind me calling them veterans. And then I got thinking about it. Well, some of these is going to the mission field. They've been pastoring churches for several years and preaching for many years, and me up here calling them rookies and beginners. They're not beginners. They're just entering into another dimension of God's work. And I just want you to know, just exactly like the odds favored David when he's coming down that mountainside to meet Goliath. Though he was just a shepherd boy with a sling, and all the world had turned their head to keep him from seeing him devoured by that angry, challenging giant, 9 feet and so many inches tall, trained warrior from his youth. Who'd give David a chance? His father would have been there. He wouldn't have let him have gone. No doubt he wouldn't have let him. And he embarrassed his brothers for even thinking about going. And one of his brothers said, he ought to be back home tending to those sheep. He don't stand a chance. Nobody would have given him a chance. But praise God, he was a going for the Lord. And when you go for the Lord goes with you. The odds are favoring you. Glory to God. Glory to fear not. You don't have nothing to fear. I still remember Roosevelt's famous words. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. That's all. When God's with you, you're in the majority. I don't care where you are. You're in the majority. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's praise my God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I read to you since I've been here, didn't comment on it much. I read the first few verses of the book of Job, where Job is introduced. But all he possessed, and it is said that he was greatest man in the East. I read that and I just thought, oh, thank God for such a man serving my God. With all of that wealth, some people can't serve God. Back in depression, I actually experienced this. I really did. I saw people working for $3 and $4 a week and pay their tithes. I remember one man had a wife and a couple of children. This is right after I got saved. He got saved. He came to me and wanted to know how the church was supported. And I told him. I said, we pay our tithes. And that man made $3 a week. A wife and two children. And started paying his tithes. Now you can't imagine that. You can't imagine it. But there's a lot of people existing somewhere or other that wasn't making that. Wasn't making nothing. People out of work. I don't know how they made. I had a job all the way through, quit a job right in the midst of depression and went to full-time preaching. My daddy called me the biggest fool he ever saw. He said, "I'm ashamed of you. I don't want my friends to know that I raised such a fool." And he believed in this church, but didn't believe in me. And I saw those same people begin to make $2 and $3 and $4 and all, wages are going up to $6, $7 an hour, and that's too much. They can't pay tithes on that. Praise God. I feel like if you made $100 an hour, God owns 10 of that's His. I appreciated Brother Bonador. He went to the mission field in Jamaica. And he asked Brother Stairs. Brother Stairs was our director, and I assistant director under Brother Stairs for a number of years. And he asked Brother Stairs to let me go down there, and Brother Stairs sent me. And I went. And Brother Bonador started teaching those precious nationals to pay tithes. A tithing envelope, you've seen them, they used to get them from headquarters, just little yellow envelopes, tithe slip. We take them today and put our tithes in it, and the secretary throws them away. Brother Bonador wrote their name on this little tithe slip, gave it to them. They'd pay their tithes, and then he'd give it back to them. Why, some of their tithes wasn't much more than what that slip would cost. Couldn't afford to give them one every week, no more tithes than to pay. And those precious people, I forget what their money was called, but just pennies in our money. And they'd pay in their tithes. I'm so jealous for God. I just want everything to come His way, whether it's little or big. Praise God. I love to see people obey the Lord. That's what Elijah was talking about. They've forsaken your covenant. Tore down your altars. I like a pastor in my area, part of the country, when I was a pastor. He announced to his congregation, "I want you to bring every vehicle you have to church. Every Sunday morning. If you've got a truck and a car, let your wife drive the car and you drive the truck. Park them all around the church. I want everybody to see every vehicle they can see. Make them think it's a wonderful crowd of people in the house of God. So jealous for the Lord. He wanted the outside world to think everybody's a going to church. Park your car. Bring them all and park them here. Park them." I like that. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Jealous. jealous for the Lord. Not jealous of Him, jealous for Him. Praise God. Israel's army, I imagine when that giant screamed out, challenging, I just imagine David stepped back thinking, one of my big brothers will take that challenge. Even why I know that, 11 of us, 8 boys, and I'm the oldest. Those younger boys got me in more trouble. School, they just think, I'll take it up. My big brother, I imagine that's just about the way David felt. But to his disappointment, his big brothers fell back too. But I'll go. He's defied the armies of my God. On another occasion, David said, I live in a house of cedar. In the Ark of the Covenant, in the tabernacle of skin. Jealous for God. Look where I'm living. Look what I have. And look where the Ark of the Covenant is. Look where. I appreciate so much what Brother Judd preached here Monday night. And you thought Brother Urshan was going to be here, and Brother Judd walked up and said something about him taking Brother Urshan's place. I told him after church, I said, you very well took his place. Very well. You have no apologies to make that message that you preached tonight. And he brought it out in the course of his message, because he's preaching to missionaries. Build your congregation before you think about building a building. And I agree with him 100%. You are the church. The building is a place where you go to worship. But after we've got a church, after we've got the congregation, I love to see buildings. Praise God for the Lord. I've even preached this. I think the nicest building in the city ought to belong to God, dedicated to Him. Praise the Lord. We built a nice church in a little town of DeRidder. Some of you have been there. Brother Beckton preached there Sunday. For a little country town, it is a nice little church. And we've got neighboring churches all around us. You look in the church directory, you'll see 6 churches with the address DeRidder. They're not all in DeRidder. They're rural churches, several miles around. I walked to nearly every one of them and preached way years ago when I was starting out. And I told the congregation when I saw what a building was developing into. I told my people, I said, now, the city is going to be happy for us. They are, and they were. They were. But I said, our own people that believe just like we do, they're going to criticize us for this building. They're going to criticize. But I don't want you retaliating. Just say nothing. One lady in another church called me up. Said, Brother Glass, I want to ask you. Said, I heard this, and I just want to hear what you say. Did you say there would never be no shouting in that new church? Well, I knew the lady quite well. I said, Sister, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe I said that? She said, no, I don't. I said, then I don't have to answer you, do I? You already know. But I said, just to confirm it, no, I never said it. In fact, to tell you the truth, I've done a little shouting myself. Haven't done enough, but I'm going to do a whole lot more. Well, that's what we're talking about. Our or baptistry. They delivered it and it was on the outside, and somebody said they put in a swimming pool, and it wasn't town people, it was our own faith. But one day, one Wednesday, I'd already prepared for Wednesday night service. I was just reading the Bible. And I read where David said, "My son Solomon is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and glory throughout all countries." I read that. Boy, when I read that, I couldn't stay in my study. I got out in the hall of the education building, walking up and down, praising God. It got too small. I went in the sanctuary. And I had if somebody had come in, they'd have thought I was crazy unless they had what I had. And that night, I told the church, I said, "Sunday week, I'm going to read you a verse of scripture you've never heard in your life. You probably read it like I have, but you read over it. You didn't get it. I studied that verse. I studied it. And I'm going to read it Sunday week." I said, "Now, don't nobody ask me where it's found. I'm not telling nobody. Sister Glass, don't you ask me. I'm not even going to tell you. You're going to have to come here Sunday week." But boy, they were there with their Bibles and their pencils. And I read that verse. "The house that is to be builded for the Lord must be," didn't say should be, "must be exceeding magnificent." Sister Glass grabbed her little purse dictionary. She thought I'd missed the word, magnificent. But I hadn't. And I said, "Folks, you better be glad I didn't find this verse before we built this building. Those mortar joints wouldn't be cement, they'd be gold. Nothing's too good for the house of God. And now I don't care what anybody says. Let them say it. Let them say it. I don't care what they say. Just forget it. And don't you worry about it." One couple came to me and said, "Can we put that on a plaque and put it in the foyer? It's hanging out there right now." And I'm jealous for the Lord. Jealous. I want the best to come here. I don't want the devil having things that he don't have. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope in this discourse I've created a little spirit.